Welcome to Tabletop Tommies. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Phil. So today's episode, we are joined by a very special guest, Josh. Josh, those of you who are involved in the UK tournament scene will know very well. He's a member of the South Wales Warlords Gaming Club based in Cardiff. He's joining us today to talk about Bolt Action Korea, both the campaign book and also an upcoming event that he's running in Cardiff. We'll also have a little chat about what we can expect from Bolt Action Korea in the future. And Josh is also quite a major TO within the UK. So he's been involved in various events over the last number of months and also has quite some major events coming up. So quite a lot to look forward to in today's episode. And without further ado, hello, Josh.
Hello, thank you for having me on.
You're very welcome. Thank you for joining us. So, Bolt Action Korea. I mean, I've read the book and that's about it. So I've never played it. I don't know a huge amount about it. And to be fair, in terms of the actual conflict itself, I don't know a huge amount about it. So my knowledge of that history kind of ends towards World War II and then picks up again probably 10 years down the line in terms of the early part of the Vietnam War. So just interested to hear about, you know, Korea itself in terms of the conflict and also how it is represented and replicated in Bolt Action.
Well, yeah, essentially, yeah, it's kind of a forgotten war because obviously you've got the two big events either side of it. You've got the Second World War and then you've obviously got Vietnam kicking off. Essentially, the book is the same as the standard Bolt Action game, but with a few extras added in. So it's the first use of napalm, for example. So the Americans get access to napalm in that. The first introduction of what we would now call MBTs, main battle tanks. So it was the first showing of the Centurion for us as the British. The Americans had the Patton and the Pershing as the main tanks. It's an overlooked part of world history in itself. And as for the game, because 90% of the equipment was World War II issue gear, you can literally, if you've got a late war American or British army, just port it straight over, which is what I'd rather enjoy about it. Because when people go, oh, I don't know about Korea, I don't know what I can use for it. And then my first words are, do you have a late war British or American? And most people go, well, yeah, of course. Like, there we go then. Quite simply, just plonk it from World War II into Korea and it just works exactly the same.
And obviously that's the Allied and the UN forces. If we're playing the communist forces, what's involved there and how easy is it to take maybe a Bolt Action Second World War army and port that across into a Korea army?
Really quite easy, actually, because if you have Soviets, the Chinese were basically equipped by Stalin. So any of the Soviet line models, if you can get the Siberian kit as well, which has like Asian looking heads, or you can get 3D printed Chinese heads now, just any Russian kit just worked perfectly. Mm-hmm. And as for the North Koreans themselves, their uniforms were slightly different, but Warlord Games do an amazing model range for that, mm-hmm. which I've got about 3,000, maybe 4,000 points worth of models for that, which never really sees the table in its full glory.
And how did you get into Korea as a, you know, Bolt Action sort of theme, Josh? Because it is, you know, underrepresented. And am I right in saying that your event is the only one in the UK that you're aware of, which is, you know, running a Korea-themed event?
As far as I'm aware, it is the only one. I haven't even seen any in the States either, to be fair.
Okay.
So that is my one claim to fame, that I do host the only Korean war event in the UK.
Yeah.
And it did go down really well last year, in all fairness.
Some really good tables, isn't there? I've played on your MASH table, though, the hospital tents.
Ah, yeah, the MASH table.
How many tables have you got now for it that you've built yourself?
So I've got the MASH table. I do have a Korean village that I'm working on that's got a crashed B-52 on it as well.
Nice.
I am working on an actual Frozen in the Chosen board itself based on some photographs of the American camp at the Chosen Reservoir. So that'll be winter, loads of tents, some ruined buildings, and lots of sandbags and dugouts.
Do you tend to find with the models, is it mainly winter-based, or do you find that people were fielding sort of summer uniforms as well as winter uniforms, and that either are perfectly acceptable?
Yeah, either is acceptable, because the strange thing with the Korean Peninsula is that much like the UK, you can have freezing cold weather in the winter, and then in the summer, out of nowhere, you get blistering heat. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. So in the actual Battle of the Chosen Reservoir, it got to minus 38 degrees centigrade. Yeah. It's unbearable. I work in an industry where I deal with chilled and frozen food, and the freezer we have is minus 18 to 20 degrees. So it's just shocking to think that when I walk in that room, it's twice as cold.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And the guys up there didn't have anywhere near as much protective gear as I have on when I'm in work.
True. And then at the other extreme, you're looking at temperatures in the high 30s, I imagine, in the summer and trying to operate in those conditions.
Oh, yeah, it's just complete opposite. So you've got guys suffering from dehydration, exhaustion as well, heat fatigue. It's not an environment I'd want to be fighting a battle in, put it that way.
Sure. And I guess with the rules, does it reflect those environmental conditions in the scenarios from the book in the way that some of the World War II campaign books have, you know, fighting in the desert? And the Western Desert campaign, for example, gives you rules about desert fighting, and likewise for the jungle, for the Empire in Flames type books. Is that also a feature of the Bolt Action Korea book?
Yeah, there is some rules for that in the book itself. Interestingly enough, in some of the scenarios at the event I've done, I've incorporated them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So if you turn up and you're on the winter board, expect to be suffering from frostbite. But at the same time, if you're on one of the summer brace boards, expect to have some units suffering heat exhaustion, which if you go to normal events, you don't tend to find these. But given that this is a very themed event, I thought, do you know what? I'll throw them in. We did them last year and I had nothing but positive results off people.
Mm-hmm.
It can put that bit of a wacky spin on games beforehand.
Yeah, and some of the armies often have rules to offset the campaign rules, don't they? So I presume they would be in play as well, like skis, or I don't know what your summertime special rule would be. extra canteens.
Extra canteen all round.
Yeah.
You can you can buy winter clothing. Generally, that tends to be UN forces because the Chinese suffered terribly with clothing. And there's stories of them stealing boots off UN guys that have died on the battlefield just because they weren't given footwear up in the mountains.
So that nicely leads us into the event itself. We've mentioned it a few times. So what's happening in June? What can we expect? Where is it? Give us all the details, Josh.
So it's in Firestorm Games in Cardiff. I'm sure a few of you would have been there and understand that it is an absolutely amazing game venue. 2 days, 5 games. Each of the missions will be different on each board. If you've attended the Welsh Open, it'd be the same sort of style. So you just move up and down. Scores are kind of irrelevant. And everyone's going to walk away with something at the end of the day. And it's more bragging rights than anything else.
And is it similar to the Welsh Open where you've got no blue on blues? So you've got a number of UN and allied forces and a number of communist forces tickets available?
Yeah, so I've got the tickets up separately. What was it last year? I think we had 2 more UN players than communist players last year. So I did ask for 2 volunteers that were just happy to play on blue and 2 club members. And 1 club member did come up and say, yeah, I'm fine with that. It doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if I can avoid blue on blue, I will avoid blue on blue. But if it is, I do kind of expect it to be more slanted towards the UN forces because obviously British and Americans are probably more popular than the Russians. And most people don't want to invest in the North Korean line. So, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Sure.
Play communist and you won't have to deal with blue on blue, put it that way.
Yeah, and it's often that way, isn't it? When you sell tickets for events where you need to have an even number, if one side is more popular than the other, if you choose to go with the least popular side, you are guaranteed you're going to have much more variety and avoid that potential for blue on blues.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it's exactly. Kind of, yeah, 6 of 1 and 6 of 1 of the other.
Yeah, and Warlord do a good North Korean army range now, don't they? So there's no excuse not to field an army if you are so inclined.
Oh, no. You can. They do an amazing range. And actually, what I've done with mine is, because I ended up getting 2 of the support boxes, I took the standard bearer from the 1 and changed it to a Chinese flag.
Mm-hmm.
So I can actually, because the uniforms are not that different, I do actually sometimes use them as a communist Chinese army for the Second World War.
Okay, oh, yeah.
Nice. So you can get 2 out of 1 by literally just painting 1 figure differently. Well, if you want a little tease, I do have information on new product lines as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So the Summer British line for the British will be expanded as well. So you'll have unique NCOs, more weapon teams, more officers, and another squad, I believe. So you can mix that up. And there is also being produced a new Winter British line.
Brilliant.
Nice.
So obviously we've got the 1 squad at the moment, but there is
more
Winter Brits on their way because I believe they're one of the only lines that don't really get much winter love.
Mm.
Yeah, nice.
Excellent. That's really good, yeah. And we mentioned already the Korean line that Warlord produced is fantastic, and there's some really good options there, isn't there? So it does sound like, yeah, there's a lot coming up for Korea, and presumably some of those, not necessarily the summer British units you just mentioned because of the uniforms are slightly different, but I'd imagine the winter British uniforms for Korea would also be fine for late 1944 British, early 1945.
Yeah, the photographs from the period are basically the same. So trench coats, leather jerkins, There was more of the jumpers being issued, but I believe the commandos had them late war as well. Late war, Second World War now, so...
Yeah. And I imagine if you're playing, you know, if you play late war US or late war British in bolt action for Second World War, there's not a huge amount you need to do to make it viable for Korea. Maybe add a bigger tank, maybe some different artillery, but the general units are roughly going to be the same.
Yeah, essentially. The only difference off the top of my head I can think of is bigger tanks. So there wasn't any of these little like Stuarts running around. The Americans got access to more recoilless rifles.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which was a big change. And you've also got senior NCOs in the game.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you've read the rules for them, but
yeah.
You have him, I think it's within 6 inches of your officer. He bumps your officer up a level.
Mm-hmm.
So you, a second becomes a first becomes a captain, and et cetera, et cetera. And then if your officer is killed, then that senior NCO steps up and becomes a first lieutenant, I believe. Nice. So there is a benefit to having him, especially if you take a first lieutenant, for example, then suddenly you've got yourself a captain.
Yeah, it's a really interesting mechanic. I did see that in the rules reading through it, that introduction of senior NCOs. And that second bit in terms of the bumping up and the stepping in if someone is taken out, you see that in other Second World War theatre selector. I'm thinking about the Free French in North Africa, for example. They've got that special rule where if you take out the lieutenant, the NCO or the squad who's within 12 inches becomes that second LT in that situation. So it's interesting that there are certain things that appear in the career book which are also replicated similarly or completely directly in another of the World War II campaign books.
It's interesting you mentioned the recoilless rifles, because we saw them in this salute cabinet. They've got both the 57 and the 75 mil coming out this year.
Ah, yeah, they do.
Yeah, and so clearly, bit of a smart move there from Warlord that it ties into both the World War II range and the... And it's, to be honest, in bolt action, it's a unit that I don't see very often, but I do really like. Just having that sort of direct fire, high explosive is really cool. Not great anti-tank weapons, ironically, though, in bolt action.
HE kills all problems.
So if people are interested in going, Josh, tickets are available through the Firestorm events webpage. It's what's the details in terms of the points cost and all that kind of stuff?
So it's 1250 points, single or double theater platoons.
Okay.
Taken from the book. There is a couple of limits on flamethrowers and multi-launchers, but that seems to be standard across the UK at the minute. Pretty much it's free reign to have fun. I did have one person message me and say, can I take four Pershings? That's all he wants to take is four Pershings. And I was like, well, yeah, okay. If you want to start taking tank platoons, that's fine with me, because there is, like I've said earlier, there is no small tanks running around. If you want to drop 300 odd points on four tanks, be my guest. You're probably not going to do well, but if you're going to have fun doing it, then have fun doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's when they come up against an objective-based mission and the tanks can't hold the objective, then, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a struggle for them, but if they want to run around blasting stuff off the table with big guns, then feel free to do so.
Sure.
But there's fair warning to anyone who is going along. There's going to be some big tanks, so yeah. Bring your big anti-tank guns.
Make sure you bring your anti-tank weaponry. I did have one person last time come up to me and go, why is there so many big tanks at this event? Like, well, it was fair warning. There are no small tanks in this event, so...
And I saw as well that you've brought over the tertiaries like Welsh Open has. Obviously, that's quite popular at Welsh Open, where you have your things like kill the enemy sniper with a sniper, etc., as a tertiary victory point. Is that off the back of Welsh Open?
Essentially, I did magpie the idea, I won't lie. I've been to the Welsh Open many times, and you two included, even though you can have the most terrible of games, you can still aim for one of those tertiaries. Because I ran Italians last year, and I had one game where everything fell apart. And I was like, if I can just get one tertiary, I can walk away the moral victory here.
Yeah,
exactly. It just has that little bit of extra fun, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you start to get towards like game four and game five of the weekend. You look at your tertiary list and go, okay, I've got some weird and wacky ones I haven't got yet, and I'm going to start having a bit of fun in those later games of the weekend.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and because you've got it sort of not blue on blue, ideally, there's a first, rather than being first overall, are the prizes done first UN, first commies, etc.?
So we will have first, second, and third UN, and then first, second, and third communist. I'm yet to sort out what we're doing for trophies. I do hope to do something unique. But generally, I'm going to have a prize table and you'll come up and you'll take your pick of what you fancy off the prize table, as well as walking away with one of these trophies, and you get bragging rights.
I'm sure the Reese could probably connect you with someone who does some nice slate trophies, because they were popular last year at the Welsh Nationals.
Oh yeah, they went down extremely well.
Nothing better than a trophy you can eat your dinner off, huh?
Depends how big the trophy is or how small the dinner is. So speaking of unique, Josh, so you've actually been in contact recently with one of the co-authors of the book, John Russell, and he's had an input, I think I'm right in saying he's had an input into some of the missions and giving you some ideas about maybe changing some of the rules or tweaking some of the objectives within the missions itself.
Yeah, so I had a conversation with him, I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe last week.
Mm-hmm.
Sat down and I essentially said to him, because I did have a conversation with him beforehand and said, right, was there anything else coming up for Korea? And he sent me this file and it was absolutely huge. And it was all the stuff that was cut from the book.
Okay. Mm.
So I basically sat down with him and said, right, what would you recommend? So I'll give you some example here, for example. So early war, the Chinese used bugles. They were using them as old school communication devices, not like radios.
Mm.
But the first UN troops to arrive thought it was psychological warfare. So there is a rule for, it's basically tiger fear. Tiger fear if you've got Chinese models armed with bugles, it's UN forces because they're scared.
Bugle fear.
Bugle fear, yeah.
And then, interestingly enough, the Americans also have the same tiger fear, but it only works if you've got the actual tiger painted on the front of the tank.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you've seen the new Easy 8 tanks, it actually comes with a transfer for said tiger to be painted on the front.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. Nice.
So there is no real excuse for people to go, oh, I didn't fancy painting it. I'm the worst painter in the world. And the minute I saw that transfer, I was like, yes, thank God.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
And I guess, speaking of rules, what are you hoping or expecting in terms of if a new version of Bolt Action is released in the coming months?
Oh.
What are you expecting in terms of Korea? Are you expecting it to tie in nicely still, or are you expecting there to be a transition window where you're still using Korea sort of in line with V2 Bolt Action before it gets an update?
I would like to say that all the books just going to literally port over to V3, as I'm sure everybody would like, because my book collection is quite extensive. So I am hoping it goes that way. If Warlord do decide to do something different and they go, right, okay, going forward, only certain books could be used or they need to be tweaked, then that's a bridge we'll have to cross. But I am hoping that all the books were just port over.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And are there any specific rules or things you're hoping to see in V3?
Well, medium machine guns being slightly better than what they are currently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy with the rule set as it is. There are some things that need clearing up, mainly points values in my eyes. Some units like Gurkhas are severely undercosted.
Mm.
Some nations need a bit more love, the minor nations, for example. Mm-hmm. But I don't, well, version 3 is version 3. We're just going to have to wait for it to come out. I haven't been told anything about V3, so.
And looking ahead, Josh, so you've mentioned Welsh Open, which is obviously in September, which you're going to as a player. You've also got quite a lot going on in the next few months as a TO. What are you involved in coming up?
Oh, there's a couple I'm involved in. First one is Welsh Nationals in Cardiff, which is next month.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see me there with my club chairman, Reese. We'll be running the event between us. So if anyone does have any questions or want to talk, please come and grab me. I'm a big guy with a beard. Won't be hard to miss me. And then any of you that attended WoW last year, a Russell Wright's event down in Essex, you would have seen me there as well. So I do help out with a few of the events around the UK if I can.
Brilliant. I mean, the Welsh Nationals is worth just taking a moment there. 52 players, which is absolutely amazing to get that number of players. And we've said before on the pod how much we enjoy Firestorm Games and how great it is as a venue. But, you know, it's a great venue. It's a great event. But to have 52 players, and I believe there are people coming from overseas as well, that's a really, really great testament to what you guys are doing as a club and Reese and yourself in terms of the event and how you run it.
Oh, yeah. We do try to do our best. And we are extremely lucky to have Firestorm Games as our home base, if you would. Because
mm-hmm.
you two yourself know there's air conditioning in there, which is a massive perk in the summer
yeah.
and in the winter. The hot food is always great as well. And for those of you above 18, there is also a bar on site. So you can either drink to your victories or drown your defeats.
Yeah, it's a quality venue. And I'm not surprised the Welsh Open sold out so fast, because Marco has put on a good show there. And with that venue, as you say, you can't really go wrong, can you? And so was it the beginning of June. 8th and 9th of June?
Yeah, the 8th and 9th of June this year.
Is Frozen. And we'll put the links in the description for the tickets, and the Facebook page, I imagine, is the best place for people to go if they have any further questions.
Yeah, I'm always on there, so you can either go on the event Facebook page, post on there, or message me, or if any of you don't want to go to the group, you can search for South Wales Warlords on Facebook as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I am on there, and if not, one of the club members or the committee members will answer anything that I can't.
And do the South Wales Warlords play out of Firestone Games primarily?
We do have a monthly meet in Marshfield in the Village Hall there.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the members do live local to Cardiff, and they do play a lot of their games in Firestone Games themselves.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Well, thanks, Josh, for joining us. And as I say, it's not something that I was really aware of, either in terms of Bolt Action or in terms of historically. But it is like, yeah, because you can fairly easily take your late war UN force, or maybe even your late war Soviet force, and port it into, buy a bigger tank, maybe have a look at some other units. But effectively, you're carrying it across quite easily. It definitely is something I'll look at. I've got it in my diary, so hopefully I am going to be free that weekend. Not quite sure yet which nation it will be. It will either be British or US. It just depends on which tank I like most, to be honest, probably.
Brilliant. Well, once again, 8th and 9th of June for Frozen and the Chosen. I always get them back to front by mistake. That's why I post there. I always say Chosen and the Frozen. But yeah, once again, 8th and 9th of June for Frozen and the Chosen. Check it out. I think it's going to be a belter. Cheers for coming on, Josh.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Josh. We will see you next month for the Welsh Nationals. And fingers crossed, one of us or both of us will see you for Frozen and Chosen as well.
Brilliant. Look forward to seeing you both.
Fantastic. Take care.
Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now.
Bye.